Good morning, and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. We're glad you're here worshiping with us this morning. If you would, join me in singing Surely of the Presence as printed in your bulletin. We're glad you guys are here this morning. If you would, there's attendance registers on the end of your pews, and we'd ask that you take that time now to look at those, and if you're a visitor or a member, please register your attendance so that we can get in touch with you. If you're a visitor, we're glad you're here with us this morning and pray that you will consider Main Street and you'll make that as your church home. Only a few announcements. After the service today, we have our free lunch to celebrate the ending of our capital campaign, and it smells really good if you walked in by the fellowship hall. So I encourage y'all to stay. That's right after the service for that. This Wednesday, we will be continuing with our gathering series. The meal will be catered by Capri's. Once again, please make an effort to make reservations so we can know how many to prepare for. The program for the adults will be called Five Wishes, which will be put on by Lee Robards, and this is about living wills. I think something that concerns us all. Other activities, we will have youth group and choirs will be that night as well. Any other announcements that need to be brought to our attention? If not, then let us prepare our hearts for worship. Will you please stand for the call to worship? Your law is perfect, O God. It revives the soul. Your commandment is pure. it enlightens our eyes. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my rock and my redeemer. Let us worship God. You may be seated. Now please join me as we pray the invocation as printed in your bulletin. Let us pray. Great God, we lift up our hands to bring offerings to you. We bow our heads in prayer to give you honor. We worship your name with praise and thanksgiving. In Christ, you bless us and call us your own. Full of joy and belonging to Christ's holy family, we join with sisters and brothers everywhere in presenting our gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our entire life together is undergirded by prayer, and I am very happy to report that in our capital campaign, part of it was that we had a prayer vigil yesterday, and Lori Bassett organized that, and we had, I think, 36 slots, times for people to come and pray for all of our membership through our entire role. 36 slots there were, but 57 people showed up. It really does my heart good to have that spirit of volunteerism and belief in the power of prayer. And as we go to prayer together, I have some concerns and some thanksgivings I wish to lift up. One is that Hayden Eaglehart is in the hospital, went in yesterday. We'll check on him today. Grace Scott had surgery this past week. Lewis Sherrod remains in the hospital. Dr. Bennett Kindard had a heart procedure this past week in Spartanburg. Leighton Daniel is in a serious condition but at home. Jenny Hammond recovering from surgery. G. Poe at home after having been in the hospital. Fred Calfee recovering. Bob Bennett recovering. Barbara Stroud. Jim and Ruth Medley. Marilyn Sheridan. Joyce Bartless has ongoing concerns. And also we've been asked to pray for Carol Scurry's mother, as well as all of the concerns that we have listed there and you have noted in your heart. I want to add once again this week, my daughter Allison, her husband Michael, and my yet-to-be-born granddaughter. We thought we'd have another grandbaby by today, but they've kept her out of labor, and it's any minute now. If my cell phone goes off during worship, you'll know what it is. We're waiting for that call. But with all these concerns in our hearts and minds, let us go together to God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we come to this sacred space set apart for worship to praise you, to thank you for setting us apart by your love, your mercy, and your grace, setting us apart to continue what you began in Jesus Christ, the incoming, the upbuilding of your kingdom. And all the priorities and demands upon our life, we have placed you highest as Lord of all, Lord of our life, Lord of our livelihood, Lord of the directions and the decisions that we make. We serve you knowing you are an easier master than serving self. We serve you knowing that our wandering desires cannot lead us any place good or godly. We serve you because we trust you. Your love in Jesus Christ has convinced us. Your word made flesh has convicted us and soothed our souls with grace. Thank you, Lord. And now we pray for our world, for our nation, and for the earthly leaders and temporary power. May they be open to the influence of your Spirit. And we pray for those who are recovering from surgery, for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, for those who await the results of tests and treatments. And Lord, we pray also our private prayers, our thanksgivings, our confessions. We lift them up before you, knowing that you hear and are able to work things together for the good. Hear now the private prayers of our hearts as we lift them before you in silence. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, before our children's time, I will ask the children to come forward, and Alice Valentine has our children's message. As the children are coming forward, someone for whom we've been praying, Lieutenant Brad DeLoach, is actually here today. I'm nearsighted, and he's over in that area somewhere during the passing of the peace. You might want to pass him some extra peace. Okay. Now we're time for our children's time.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all here. It's kind of breezy outside, isn't it? In the Bible, there's the book of John, and there's a story that Jesus was at a big wedding party, and it was exciting, and they were having a good time. And right in the middle of the party, they ran out of drink. Now, that is like being at a birthday party, and you got a big old mouthful of cake and chips, and you're just ready to wash it down with something cool. And there are no more juice boxes. I hope you had enough juice boxes. You did? Okay. You were safe then. Well, Mary and the disciples turned to Jesus and said, "There's no more drink. What are we going to do?" And Jesus said, "Just got to believe." And so the disciples did just what Jesus asked them to do. And lo and behold, Jesus gave enough drink for everybody to finish the party. That's amazing. Well, you know what? Life is kind of like that. When you're trying to do something, even if it's like riding a bike or kicking the soccer ball in the goal, and you just can't do it, and you get so mad. Well, you know what? We have to believe that Jesus has given us special gifts, even if we don't know what they are. But later on, you'll find out what your special gift is. You just have to believe, just like the disciples did. You might be a doctor. You could be a nurse. You could be a famous baseball player, or somebody who stays at home to take care of their children, or somebody who fixes hair better than anybody else. But you just have to believe that God has given you gifts. And they'll come out sooner or later, and you can use them to spread His word. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the gifts you give us. Help us to use them to glorify your name. Amen.
Now let us pass the peace.
From the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, the first chapter, verses 4 through 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand, and he touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is the first of Corinthians, the first book of Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts.
Oh, I may see.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for giving us enough resources to meet our every need and to give to every good cause. We pray you bless these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Hear now our gospel reading from the Gospel of Mark, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 38. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Now, by way of introduction, I want to say first, I think we have it noted in the bulletin, that the Reverend Dr. Charlie Graves is going to finish his career in retirement today. This will be the last stewardship or capital campaign that he assists with. And it reminds me of the very first visit I had with the staff parish committee here. They told me that Main Street had finished the careers of many a good minister. But what they meant was, I think that there was a time when you got folks right before retirement. I think that's what they meant. I hope that's what they meant. But Charlie is retiring for good after this. And Charlie has had a special gift, a special blessing of being able to assist churches in refocusing the idea of stewardship, not on just paying the bills and the utilities and, you know, paying down interest, which is important, but as a way of life, as a way of showing and proving our allegiance, our faith, and our trust in God. And that'll be the emphasis of his message today. And I do hope that you find time to meet with him as we celebrate our successful campaign at the lunch immediately afterwards. But Charlie is also a longtime family friend. He, a friend of many of you, he performed the wedding of Bill and Shirley Logan. He married them. And he also performed Vicky and Joe Chandler. He married them. I'm not sure who else, but everywhere he goes, he has touched people in our connectional system through the Methodist Church. He has been in so many places and has never slowed down, not a moment, in retirement. 86 years young. Is that correct, isn't it, Charlie? 86 years young. But I do hope you get a chance to meet him. And now I call to your attention and to your hearts his message, finish what you have begun.
Thank you very much, Jim. I'm delighted to be here today to participate in this very important service with you. I look forward to it, and I found more connections here with this congregation than I had remembered that I had, so much so that I feel almost like the minister who got in trouble in a particular congregation, and he left, went some distance away, changed his name, became pastor of another church, and was doing great. Since the churches were of the call system, his old church heard about this new minister who was doing so well, and one Sunday morning he walked out in the pulpit and there was a delegation from his old church sitting on the front seat. He didn't know what to do. Finally, when it came time for the message, he said, "My text this morning, these words, if you see me and know me, hold your tongue and you shall be rewarded later." And so I feel that same way. We had a little reunion back in the fellowship hall this morning with the two couples whose marriage I had performed. And I tried my best to get Joe and Bill to pay me again. And they wouldn't do it. Now, don't you think that I deserve pay again for giving them such good wives for all these years? I think I do. And so you tell them that they need to do that. It is so good to be here and participate in this service. I've enjoyed the last 16 years as I have been engaged in stewardship programs and a half a dozen or so capital fund program. And I think it's time for me to end it all up, wind it all down. I finished my last regular stewardship program last Sunday in Vicky's home church, and today will finish me up, and I'm going to say no from now on, and I'm not going to accept another one. As has been announced, our procedure will be this. I know you are wondering, what about the pledge cards? Well, when I finish my message, the ushers will distribute the pledge cards, and I ask them to give each person, even though a husband and wife will complete only one card, or in some cases they might do both, I want each person to hold a card, including the children. And then we'll look at the cards, and I'll have a prayer asking God's blessings upon you, and also ask the blessing for the meal. And then you will complete your cards and bring them to the front, place them face down on the chancel rail, kneel for a moment of personal commitment, say your own benediction, and go to the fellowship hall for the complimentary lunch that has been prepared. Now, if you're here and you do not choose to make a commitment, that's your privilege, and we respect it. But we would ask that you at least sign that card and turn it in, so you will not be contacted later. Those who are not in service today or who do not sign a card will be contacted later, and we don't want you to do that. And so I'll repeat these instructions at the conclusion of my message, but I wanted to alert you to the process. The text of my message today is from the eighth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Paul is again pleading with the Corinthian church to give a generous offering for the distressed brethren in the church at Jerusalem. And he asked them to finish what they have started with these words. Finish it then as well as your means allow, and show that you can complete what you have set out to do with as much readiness as you showed eagerness to begin. The important thing is to be willing to give as much as you can. That is what God accepts, and no one is asked to give what he does not have. May God bless us as we think together along that line. Our Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Christ's name, amen. I have been very impressed, very gratified at the thoroughness with which the committee and the membership have gone about this campaign. The committee has carried through on every suggestion I made, sometimes even adding to it. The organization has been very, very well done, complete and thorough in every way. Anything that is organized is always appreciated. I'm sure you might have heard about the medical clinic that was like that. A construction crew was working near a medical clinic. One of the workers got a minor injury to his hand. He said, "Oh, it's nothing." The boss said, "Well, you need to go down to that medical clinic and get it checked out." He said, "Where is it?" He said, "Just go down the street. There's a big sign. Go down there and get it checked out." So the worker went. He saw the sign, "Enter here." He entered the building, and there was nobody in the room. But there were two doors on the opposite side. One door said injury, one said illness. He went through the injury door, got into another room, and nobody there. Two doors, major and minor. He said, "Mine's minor," so he went through that door. Nobody in that room. Two more doors, internal, external. He said, "Mine's external," and went through that door. Nobody in that room. Two more doors, treatment, therapy. He went through treatment, found himself back out on the street. Went back to his job. The boss said, "Did you find the clinic?" He said, "Yes." He said, "What'd they do for you?" He said, "Not a thing, but it's the best organized clinic in the world." Well, you've had a well-organized campaign, but the results are going to be different. You might well ask, why is he here today? I'm here because last fall I came over and shared my ideas of a capital fund campaign with your committee. And they decided that they wanted to use it. And a part of it would be for me to come this morning and lead you in this commitment service. To whom am I addressing my remark today? It would be several categories. First of all, it would be those who made a commitment previously and will make a commitment again today, but do not feel that you can increase it. Now, I can look out and see that a number of you, like I am, you're retired and you're on a fixed income. I don't know about you, but since I've retired, I've found out what a fixed income is. Nothing stays fixed. The car, the washing machine, the dryer, the television, the lawnmower, nothing. But even then, If our priorities are in order, we can continue to give. Then a second category would be those who made a commitment previously, but now you can increase that commitment, and you will do so this morning. And I hope and pray that there are many of you in that category. Then there are those who made no commitment previously. Now, this might include several different groups of people. It would be the new members who have joined since the previous campaign, and you want to have a part in this. It might be someone who did not support the program originally, but now you see the benefits of the building. You hear what it is doing. You've heard the testimony of those who are using it. You know what it's doing for the children and youth in their programs. And you want to make a commitment this time. And I understand from some of the speeches that there are a number in that category. Then there are the children. And I sincerely hope that parents will assist their children in making a commitment. I think that this is important, that years later they can look at that building and say to their children or their grandchildren, yes, I had a part in paying for that building. Let me tell you this. In my church, which is Vicky's home church in Lancaster, the story is there of when the church burned in 1908, a young boy, even while the building was still burning, went up to a church official, gave him 10 cents, and said, I want to make a contribution to the rebuilding of the church. That story is in the official history of First United Methodist Church, Lancaster, South Carolina. I was that man's pastor 60 years later, and he was still active, still pleased that as a boy, he inspired others to give. So help your children make a commitment. These, I think, would be some of the people to whom I would like to address my remarks this morning. Now, a program like this needs and demands unity. Each person, the amount will vary, but each person doing what he or she can to the best of your ability. That's what Paul says in this scripture. Giving according to your ability, according to your means. Each person, unity, all together in this. Unfinished task always have had a sore spot in my thinking. Someone began something. Jesus even talked about people who start a building and then cannot finish it. He talked about those who start a war and have not the means or the resources to conclude the war. I don't like an unfinished task. Once years ago, when I was new in a particular church, I'd understood that there was a woman who needed a pastoral visit right away. It was in a rural area, streets not marked and so forth, so I asked her husband for directions to his house, and he gave me directions. And he said, you'll go down this road, and there's a new brick home, but it has wooden steps. I haven't finished it yet and put the brick steps to it, but I plan to do that right away. I followed his directions and found the house, a brick home with wooden steps. 20 years later, I was in that community again, went down that road and by that house, and the same wooden steps were still there. An unfinished task. For a number of years, while the family vacationed at North Myrtle Beach, there was a small hotel, not very large, some 4 or 5 stories high. It had the walls, but no covering, no roof, and nothing else but the walls. We watched it year by year, quite distressed that it wasn't finished. But then finally, after several years, one summer when we went back, there it was, completed. They finally got around to completing the task. Now, I know that you'll finish paying for this building. You'll finish it sooner or later. But why not sooner? Why not get through with this job so you can tackle something else? Why not complete it as soon as possible? You remember when the children in their exodus from Egypt made their headquarters at Mount Sinai for a good long while? And finally Moses said, "We've walked around this mountain long enough. Let's move on." Walking around the same mountain year after year gets tiresome. Having the paying of the building before you for a long, long period of time will get tiresome. Do it, and do it now. Don't make a commitment today that you can't afford. And if you don't want to make a commitment today, you can find plenty of excuses why you shouldn't. Many excuses. Uncertain future. I don't know what the future holds. How can I make a pledge for 3 years from now when I don't know what the future holds about the economy, about my job, about health? We do it on faith. We do it on faith. I don't know, and I don't know anyone else knows what the future holds. I'm not a psychic. And I'm not a fortune teller. Perhaps you heard about the two men who were traveling and they kept seeing signs about fortune teller. Have your fortune read. They stopped to do it. The first man had kind of the routine, you're going to do well and having a great family and all that. The second one, she said, "Your wife's second husband will be a handsome, charming, virile man. He'll be a man's man." And when they were leaving, the friend said, "I know you got upset with her for what she said about your wife's second husband." He said, "No, but I'm mad with my wife." "Why?" "She never told me she'd been married before." We are not predictors of the future. We don't know. We have to trust God. What happens down the road is not the important issue. It's what happens today that is crucial. What am I willing to do now? How will I respond to God's call today? How will I respond to the need for the work which can be accomplished in that building? How can I respond to help children and young people grow in Christian knowledge and Christian fellowship? How can I help? How can I bring this task to conclusion? A church was having a building campaign. The minister stood one Sunday and said, "I got some good news and bad news." "What's the good news?" "The good news is we have enough money to complete the task." "What's the bad news?" "The bad news is it's still in your pockets and bank account." I have good news and good news. The good news, we have enough to finish paying for that building. The good news is I firmly believe you're going to make a commitment to do that this morning. The question in everyone's mind is, how much should I pledge? where does it come in my list of priorities? In the 16th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, verses 16 and 17, there's an incident, an interesting incident. They're told that three times a year, all the males, and remember that the Old Testament is a male chauvinistic society, and I'm sorry that left the women out of this, all you males shall make a special offering. This would be in addition to their tithe, which was expected, just the same as yours is. Whatever you give to the building program is in addition to what you already give to carry on the work of the church. And then the scripture says, all shall give as they are able, according to the blessing the Lord your God has given you. All shall give as they are able, according to the blessings you've received. A twofold test, ability to give and blessings you've received. Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. And it has to be that way. Some will be small, some will be large. Each doing what he or she can. The book of Exodus records that Moses wanted to build a sanctuary. And so he asked the people to bring their silver and gold, their acacia wood, and other precious metals. And they brought so much that finally he had to say, enough, enough, don't bring any more. I firmly believe that if you this morning do what you're capable of doing, that Shell, Dula, and Jim Dennis will say, enough, enough, don't bring any more. This morning, don't think about what someone else might or might not do. Think only of your ability and the blessings that God has given you. I'm counting on you. Your pastor is counting on you. The leadership is counting on you. And yes, I believe that God is counting on you to fully complete this program, which will enable your children and youth to more fully become a part of His kingdom. I'm counting on you. Do your best. Have a part in this program. Once in the rural church I was serving, we were going to build a new parsonage, financing over a 3-year period. I went one cold, rainy December afternoon to see one of our shut-in members. She lived in a house that was almost ready to fall down. She was in the living room, a room heated by a space gas heater. She had her shoes off and her feet propped up on an ottoman. She was a diabetic and her feet were red and swollen and angry looking. I had a visit with her, had a prayer, and got up to leave. She said, oh, by the way, do you have a pledge card for the parsonage building fund? I had one, but I didn't want to give it to her. And I said, how in the world would you pay for a pledge to the building fund? She said, I have it all figured out. You know, I have some chickens, and I want to give the proceeds of a dozen eggs a week to the parsonage building fund. I want to have a part in the building of the home where my pastor is going to live. She never lived to complete that pledge. But that wasn't the important thing. She was willing to do, she wanted to do what she could, which is exactly the commendation that Jesus gave to the widow who put the two small copper coins into the treasury of the temple. Doing what you can as you're able. Now, you'll pay. You'll pay for that building. You're not going to let the bank foreclose it. The only issue is when. When. The sooner the better. The publicity has been done. The letters have been written. The posters have been in place. The speeches have been made. The prayer chain has been most successful. Now, it's in your hands. It's in your hands. It's a matter simply between you and God. Now is the time. What will you do? What will your response be today? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will the ushers now please distribute the pledge cards, giving each person a card. Those that aren't used, where if you just use one, please bring them to the front and place them on the altar rail along with your completed card. I believe the cards have been distributed. Now up at the top, of course, your name and address, responded to God's call, and then a three-year pledge, 2007, 2008, 2009, per week, per month, per year, whatever time increment you use to make your commitment. One-time pledge this year of so much, and then the non-monetary pledge of stock, bonds, real estate, and so forth. And this commitment begins February the 1st. This is not a legal contract. This is merely your estimate of what you plan to give during the next 3 years. And that is further verified by the fact that you may change the commitment at any time by calling the church office. Complete your cards, bring them to the front, place them face down on the altar rail, kneel for a moment of personal commitment, say your own benediction, and go to the fellowship hall for the meal. Our Father, we ask thy blessings and guidance upon each person, each family, as these cards are completed this morning. We realize that the card itself is only a piece of paper, but it represents a commitment a commitment to finish the task that has been begun, a task that will mean work in carrying out the program to help others in this church. And we pray thy blessings and guidance upon each person as these commitments are made. We thank thee for the food that has been prepared to nourish our bodies, and we pray that we shall be blessed both by the food and by the fellowship that we will enjoy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.